Kelly has some really good things.
That's what Andrew was saying.
When we get to heaven though.
Oh, yeah.
We'll realize.
I'm not ashamed to have her class.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah, okay, so here. I'm glad I'm here too. It's been a motivation because there are times you dry out.
I think it's gonna be your blessing because Andrew's been trying to keep me down.
Okay,
and I go, okay, God must have something to do with me because the devil's really trying to keep me down.
That's exactly how I feel too.
Because you're feeling.
Okay, you and I talked about this.
Yes, right.
So. But it's not that I don't love you, Debbie.
All right.
Did I miss the paper?
No, I don't know why, guys. I don't have a handout. I apologize. I've been sick this week, so I didn't get a handout.
It's okay to give.
But I'm here, and I've got some good stuff for you guys, and I hope you will be really blessed today. We're gonna give it a few more minutes because it's supposed to start at 4:00.
Okay.
We've got a sheet for paper.
I know. So while we, since we've got about 5 minutes before it starts, maybe you guys could say where you're doing response in school, you know. How about we start right here?
Okay, my name is Pat, and I'm a teacher with Christian Youth this time. I'm also a Sunday school teacher, and I'm the director of my children's church.
So you do it all. Probably VBS is in there.
Haven't done VBS.
Oh, okay. All right, and I know she's in teaching at Barton. And what school are you at?
Coliseum Elementary School.
Okay, and that's in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
Christy Winniska.
And you've been doing it long?
I think this is about my third or fourth
year. What are you, sir? Which school?
32nd Street, USC, and Magnet School, USC.
Okay.
Right on the campus.
Wow.
Just
okay.
About.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long have you been there?
I've been there a couple of years.
Okay.
Not that I've been with least time long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there.
Yeah, because I know sometimes it's like you switch from one school to another school. I've been at several different schools myself.
And I've served at some other schools.
We're not starting yet. You're not late. And we're just killing time until we get. So, and you are working together as a team?
Do you know about you?
We need our team here, don't we?
You are? Yeah. Oh, that's what I thought.
Okay. I've been a good Christian recently.
Loving you.
Yes, I am after lunch.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. At the same school.
Same school, okay.
It's called.
So, what's your change
name? It'll be on the website.
I love his ages. I love that.
Your students.
This time is not that.
Did you go last year?
Yeah.
I did switch it up.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, well, we've got one more minute, just a funny story to tell you before we officially start. When I was going to do, I had been teaching Sunday school for a while, and then John Atkinson did a presentation of the church saying how they needed release type teachers. And the school by my house, I happened to ask John, I said, so is there anyone teaching at the, you know, MacArthur, which was the school by my house? You know, because just kind of wondering if there was a release time class there for maybe my kids when they go to that class, you know. And he said, no, we had a teacher last year, but we lost our teacher, so we don't have a teacher for that class. And he said, and you'd be great at it. And I said, I mean, I've taught Sunday school for a few years, but you know, I don't know about these kids that are church kids. You know, I don't know about the school kids. And then the next week, he had a printout of the class, the schools that they still needed teachers for, and MacArthur wasn't on there. And I said, oh, you found someone to teach MacArthur? And he said, yeah, you. Oh, because I thought I said, I don't know if I could do that, you know. But he said, yeah, you can, you know. So anyway, I kind of got drafted into release time, and I turned out I loved it because it was on mission field, you know. It was kids that did not know the Lord, you know, and they had not heard the Bible. And I just fell in love with it because it was like, This is you know, I just did, you know, teach kids that don't know about the Lord. They have not heard about Jesus. And that was so exciting to me. So, okay, well, we're going to start because it is time. So we're going to open your prayer. And can I volunteer to open us in prayer today? I'm the last officer. Yes, go ahead, open us in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you for this time together. Father God, we just pray, God, that you would open up our eyes to some new ideas, and Lord, just teach us how to love on these kids more and more, Father. We thank you so much for this opportunity to serve you, Father God. I pray that your spirit would just pour out into us right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so question. Who in here has ever been discouraged in their classroom? I'm on here, okay, real high here, okay, because, you know, I've had great kids, I've had great times, and like I said, I love teaching release time because it's a mission field, you know, and I feel like I have a chance to really bring the Word of God into these kids' lives, which maybe wouldn't hear at any other place, you know. So, but I've had years of discouragement. In fact, last year was probably my worst year ever, okay? I was at the point where I felt like, okay, you know this parable of the sower, right? Where you have that, you know, imagine the sower with his bag throwing out the seed, you know, and then some of it lands on the dirt road and gets picked up right away. I felt like the bag I was holding was being attacked by the birds before I even had a chance to throw it, okay? It was like, I'm going, get away, birds, let me at least get a chance to throw it out there, you know? I haven't even had a chance to toss my seed out, you know? Because the kids were so disruptive. I had 10 kids in the class, 9 of which were boys, one of which was a girl.
Oh yeah.
One of which had been held back, and he was kind of the lingering troublemaker. Okay. You know how you take the stone and you drop it in the water, and then the ripple effect comes out. And if you have one kid that's really determined to sabotage a class, you know, it kind of ripples out into everybody else, right? So I was like at the point where I was going, okay, I feel like I am just struggling to even get through any kind of lesson at all. And you know, the person that was in here before was object lessons. I think object lessons are really cool because it does draw in their attention. And so I had my bag of tricks. I even brought in, when we were doing creation, I brought in my pet bunny, you know. I let the kids pet the bunny. I mean, it was like I was really trying, Lord, help me somehow reach these kids, you know, because they don't seem to want to hear it. And sometimes, you know, we have kids like that. That they're there because their parents signed them up, or their grandma signed them up, or they got drug into it. You know, they don't really want to hear the Word of God, and they don't even care if every, you know, if they sabotage the whole class, right? So I thought, okay, this is a challenge for me, and I was praying and I was asking my women's group, that, you know, hey, pray for my class, pray for these kids, pray for their hearts to be open. And I was like struggling, and at one point I said, God, is it even worth going? Is this a waste of my time? Is this just, you know, I'm just, you know, going and nothing's happening, you know? And the Lord told me, keep going, keep going. And so it was like, okay, even though it looked like it's just chaos, you know? And I have been teaching release time for probably around 25 years. And I have been teaching Sunday school for even longer. So I, you know, I felt like, okay, I kind of know what I'm doing. You know, I've taught release time for a long time, and I'm still really having a hard time. So I said, Lord, are you sure? You know, maybe someone younger would be better, you know? Maybe someone that looked different, that they can relate to better, you know? I know that God, we're all the same inside. The blood of Jesus washes out any color lines, you know, but maybe they don't know that. Maybe they would relate to someone that looked different, you know? That was there on your age to talk to you. Now you're too old for this, you know? Lord said, keep going, you know? So by the end of the year, that, you know, some of those key troublemakers had accepted Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. And there was, it was, you know, and I thought, okay, hung in there. I wasn't sure if they would come back the next year because I thought, you know, well, it was kind of chaotic, you know, maybe they won't even come back. 5 came back out of 10. And the ones that didn't come back is because they graduated out. They were on to a different school. One of the kids that graduated out actually got out, you know, early and ran to my class, came on the bus, and said, I'm gonna be here because I'm gonna walk my brother home. I said, well, that's fine, but your brother's not here today. Oscar, I'll walk you home. Okay. He wanted to stay on the bus and he wanted to hear the lesson. And something touched his heart that day because his eyes were like kind of teary. And I'm going, Lord, you brought him here today to hear this message, you know? And it was just like, so I'm going, okay, you know, this is pretty cool. But these are some of the verses that we're going to go over, like, that helped me get through some of this discouraged times, okay? And so, because we all get there. I mean, nowadays, these kids, it's like, you know, they have these cell phones, you know, and you're going, okay, I'm going to confiscate your cell phone if I hear it go off with rap music again, you know, kind of thing. It's like, no. And I mean, I'm hearing the music going off, and they're going,
I don't know where it's coming from.
You know, I'm going, it's right there. You know? So now we have them put their backpacks in the back of the bus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they can't have their cell phones with them. I have a, you know, like a ticket that they get at the beginning, and if they are disruptive or something, they lose that ticket. If they can earn it back by answering a question because they've been paying attention, because I've realized, well, once they lost the ticket, then they were really crazy, like, I don't have my ticket anymore, I might as well really. But I said, you know, you can win it back, but you have to answer a question. So you have to be hearing, the, you know, to be able to answer a question. So those were, you know, some things we implemented for just kind of trying to keep the chaos down. But like I said, when you have someone that's a little determined, you know, to sabotage, then it's like a little bit more trouble. So what we did is we implemented that, but it was hard with the with, you know, what was going on. But God said keep doing it. And so one of the main things that I found, you know, that we need to do when we have classes that give us trouble is prayer. You know, prayer. That is so critical because we are not just, you know, we're not just up against the kid that is one of contention. There's something behind that going on. And I bet you guys know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're going up against,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, flesh and blood. It's not just their attention span. It's, you know, there's spiritual warfare going on,
yes,
too.
Yes.
And so it's like we need to be able to, like, just really be praying. And when I was, the beginning of this year, our women's group, we started going through Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing lessons in Nehemiah that had so much to do with release time. I encourage you guys to read the book of Nehemiah with the idea of release time in mind. Because we see that, like, in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah comes and he hears of how things are not going well in Jerusalem, okay? He hears of the problems there. And he said, you know, so his heart was broken. Now, did you guys ever have your hearts broken hearing about what's going on in public schools?
Oh, yes.
You know, the gender confusion, the, you know, the things that are being taught about what a family is, you know, the different things that they're going up against, you know, the heartaches that these kids go through, you know, it breaks our heart, and it makes us mourn. when Nehemiah heard how bad things were, he mourned. But he didn't stop there. It was just like, wow, this is horrible. He went to God and prayed. And he started praying specifically for what he could do about it and how he could change it. And when he was went before the king, he prayed specifically that the Lord would give him favor with the king. You know, we pray for favor with the school district, right?
Yes.
We pray for the Lord to open those doors. And we need to be prepared to go through those doors once the doors are open. And that's what we're here today doing, getting prepared, right? So he prayed and he fasted and he sought the Lord. And then it says that the gracious hand of God was upon me. And he felt God's hand was upon him and giving him this opening with the king, with opening to go through and go down. Now he gets to, you know, the wall, and he sees the wall is a bunch of rubble. Mm-hmm. Okay, last year, like I said, my class, it felt like a bunch of rubble. Okay? It was how do I even start building this up? How do I even lay that foundation, that firm foundation of the Word of God? These guys are just rubble, you know. But Nehemiah didn't let it stop him. He knew the gracious hand of God was upon him. And just like God's hand is upon each and every one of us, like he was saying, we're all gifted. God has a purpose and a plan, and what we're doing is really important. And so he went and he observed what was going on. He took note of it and he prayed. And then he joined together with, they said they worked side by side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, side by side. We need each other in this. We need our helpers. We need people praying for us. Like sometimes there's people that go, oh man, I couldn't do release time. I can't, I work during the day or whatever. But they could pray for your release time class.
Yes.
And you can say, you know what, I want you to just start, if you could just pray for my class, I meet on Tuesday at this time, I meet on Monday at this time, if you could pray, get those people involved, even if it's just praying for your class. And, you know, sometimes they're praying for your class, pretty soon they might even be interested in helping out with your class, you know. Mm-hmm. But mainly, it's like we need to be side by side with people, you know, a team of people to, you know, really press forward on this. So prayer. Okay, so I have a scripture, and do you guys have Bibles with you or any chance? If anybody has a Bible, I think it would be cool if you be involved in this by looking up Psalms 55:22. Anyone who has that one? If you have it, then read it out.
Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall.
So who do we give our cares to when we're feeling overwhelmed? Give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one that sustains us. Okay, how about who wants to read 1 Peter 5:7? What do we do with our anxiety? Somebody might even have memorized. 1 Peter 5:7. Who has that one? I love these phones now where we can just pop up this verse.
What was the first one, Psalms? What?
The first one was Psalms 55:22.
Casting all your cares upon him.
Yes, read it out loud.
Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
So when we have those cares and those things that are weighing us down, who do we give them to? We give them to the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
We cast them on the Lord. Okay, Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Who wants to read that one?
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
And that one thing that struck me on that verse is with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to remember, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for this class. Thank you for this privilege to be there. Thank you for this open door. But Lord, Lewis, he's giving me a hard time, you know. And we bring him before the Lord and, you know, pray for each one of those kids in the class that might be, you know, there. Sometimes they're coming and then you think, are you just here for the cookie? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
Do you have any desire at all for this? You know, okay, so how about Lamentations 3:21-23. What are we supposed to have in our call to mind in this one?
This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. God is faithful. God will get you through it. And you know what? This is your compassions, they fail not. And we might think, but feel like it's failing, you know. But God says his compassions, they get us through that. And he will get us through that. So sometimes it's like, you know, okay, I got to keep this in mind. Not keep in mind how rough things are going, but keep in mind God's compassions, they don't fail. God's love never fails. Keep in mind who is really in charge of the class. It's God, right?
Amen.
And so he's the one that will get us through. Even when we're kind of thinking, you know what, this is not working so well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like God is the one that will get us through that. And one of the things that I do, and I think this is when I'm, you know, early on, I learned this, is when I'd see some kid that was maybe giving me a hard time, I would pray, Lord, give me your heart for that kid. God loves that kid. He loves him. Yeah. The one is, you know, sometimes I love the biggest troublemakers the most.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Lord, give me your heart for them. Because they, I know God doesn't have any shortage of love for them.
Amen.
And he wants them to be there. He wants to give them his heart, you know, and his love. So it's like, Lord, fill me with your heart. And sometimes it's interesting when I do that, then I find, wow, I find out something that's going on in that kid's life. And I go, oh, now I see something that's going on behind it, you know. One of the things that happened after I was praying, Lord, give me a heart for this one particular kid that had been held back. Because he was so much bigger than the other kids. I'm pretty sure he'd been held back. But he was struggling, and I said, you know what? You can do this with learning the Bible verse. I know you can do this. And he looked at me like, you think I can do something? You think I? And I think all his life he was feeling like nobody really believed in him. Nobody really thought he could do anything. So why try? And he learned that Bible verse. He memorized the Bible verse that day, and he had it down. And I said, see, I knew you could do it, because like God gave me his heart towards the kid. God said, this kid, he can do this. You know, I want him to learn this verse. And so it was like I had that confidence to work with him and help him to get it. And, you know, we have lots of little tricks for helping him learn Bible verses, you know. And so I used every trick in the book, you know, to help him learn that verse. But he had it. And he was like, I can do this? It was like the first time I think he'd ever memorized anything. You know, I don't think he'd ever memorized anything in his life. And it was like a kind of a revelation to him that he could accomplish something. And so that was because God gave me his heart for the kids. You know, instead of seeing him as the kid that was trying to sabotage my class, I saw him as the child that God really wanted to do a miracle in.
Okay.
Wow.
And it was like seeing him, the light go on, wow, I can do this. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, because it makes it worth keep going at it, right?
Yes.
Hang in there, keep going, because it's like you start seeing these glimmers, you know, of something. When you plant a seed down into the dirt, you don't see what's going on with that seed, do you?
No, you don't.
It might be a while before it comes up. Mm-hmm. You might be watering it. You might be having it, making sure it's getting the light or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while. You don't see those roots forming, and you don't see those things sprouting up. But then, like, you wait, and you're patient, and you see, hey, it is growing. It is taking root. Mm-hmm. You know, there is something happening there, especially with a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Okay, so we have another picture. Okay. So when we, where do we grow when our hearts grow faint? Someone look up Psalms 61, 1 through 3. Who has Psalms 61? You didn't know you were going to get a workout on sword drill.
61 what?
Psalms 61, verses 1 through 3.
1 through 3 says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. But my heart is overwhelmed, leaving to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy.
That's good. Thank you. So who is our rock?
God.
Who is our rock that we go to? Jesus is our rock. And as we abide in him, that's when the fruit comes out, right? We can't do anything in ourselves. You know, we can go to every seminar, every training thing, you know, and all. We can have all the knowledge and stuff like that. But it's abiding in Christ and our relationship in Christ that causes the fruit to come, right? And these things are great to get tools and to help, you know, and to be able to be prepared to teach. But bottom line is we have to have that abiding in Christ. And out of our abiding in Christ and our Him being our rock, then you teach from the overflow, right? That's what Sally taught me long ago.
Another one would be Proverbs 3:5-6.
That's my next verse. You got it. That's my next verse. Proverbs 3:5-6. Don't trust in your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Which one was that?
Proverbs 3:5-6. Okay, so that's actually a little bit further down, but we're getting to it. But that's okay. But see, you're on the same, you have the same, same spiritual insight there. That's cool. Okay, so how about Nehemiah? Let's do one from Nehemiah because, after all, it was like Nehemiah that kind of was based in some of it. So Nehemiah had been given this opportunity to build a wall around Jerusalem and protect and save the people and bring them back into a relationship with God, but it wasn't going to be easy. Okay, there was a lot of opposition. First thing he did when he gets there is like this guy, Sanballat, and this his friend, they're trying to sabotage it. They're trying to get him to stop. You know, they're mocking him. They're making fun, like, oh, a fox can knock down your wall if you build a wall. You know, it's like, oh, you can't do this. Oh, do you have permission to do this? Do we get that sometimes? Like, do you have permission to go into the public school and teach, you know? Yes. It's like, do you have permission to do this? Oh, well, do you think you're really going to accomplish anything? I mean, if sometimes we hear from people, like, I know there's teachers that sometimes don't hand out those cards because they don't think that we should have a right to do this, you know? And we stand out there by the bus and we hand them out, you know? But we find, you know, just like Nehemiah, we have opposition times where people, they don't like this, what's going on. And like I said, our main opposition is you know, the devil. You know, he's the one that really is behind it. So let's look up Nehemiah 2:10. Okay.
When Sanballat,
Sanballat,
Tobiah and Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites.
And just like he faced this opposition, we face opposition sometimes too. And Nehemiah, his response was, you know, the God of heaven will give us success. Amen. It's like, I'm not looking and going to be afraid of this man. I'm not going to be afraid of this opposition. God of heaven, God will give us success. So he knew our success came from God. Okay, so we need to remember who's behind the battle. That's why I did the spiritual battle thing. And then, by the way, it's phenethylene, and this is has ammonia in it, and the two react together.
And what is that?
This is just a phenethylene. So I can show you the chemical later. I think you can order it online. But it's really cool when you're doing the lesson about David with Saul had sin in his heart, he was on the throne of his heart with self, and David had God, was after God in his heart, and you could put on one heart sin or self, and the other one God, and then you spray it, and it's like you don't, just like we don't see the spiritual battle going on, it's invisible to us, but it's, God sees it.
Yes.
Also, we don't see what's in a person's heart, but God does.
Yes.
And God picked David because he saw in his heart.
Yep.
You know, so that's a little object lesson for you guys thrown in there. Okay, so we have 1 Peter 5:8-9. Who wants to read that one?
1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
Okay, so we all go through these things. So when you're having a tough day, I want you guys to remember these scriptures and read them, and then pray for your fellow Release Time people that are doing it too, you know, and the people teaching the Word of God, because we all go through these different times where we're struggling, you know, and because we have an enemy, and that enemy is out there trying to devour us.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis said there's two different mistakes that people can make about the devil. One is to not think he's even there, you know, and that was, the others would be too interested in it. You know, too much. And there's times in my class where the kids ask me, well, what about the devil? You know, so I had this one girl who said, well, my friend says she worships the devil instead of Jesus, you know, and she doesn't want to worship Jesus, she wants to worship the devil. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I was able to tell her, you know what, Jesus has already won the victory over the devil. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He is stronger. It's like she's choosing the losing team here, you know. And the devil doesn't love her. The devil is like a roaring lion trying to destroy and devour you. You know, so who do you want to choose? She says, oh, I think I'll choose God. Good choice. Good idea, you know. So Rick Smith in this book, Wisdom for Today, it's a little devotional that I do that I think is really cool. He had, yeah, for spiritual warfare, he had like three things. He says, first, to fight it is the word of God. And the verse that goes along with that is Hebrews 4:12. Does anyone know that one by heart by any chance? It's one of our release time verses. That's why I was wondering if you knew it. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. Who wants to read that one?
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So that's our weapon, word of God, right?
Yeah.
And then prayer is another weapon. Who wants to read Ephesians 6:18?
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all fervency and supplication for all saints.
And then it also goes on to say, pray also, Paul says, pray also for me, you know. So prayer is another weapon that we have. And then this one, Zechariah 4:6. That's where it's kind of helpful having the Bible on your phone, huh? Because finding that little book of Zechariah.
Zechariah 4:6.
Yeah, Zechariah 4:6.
So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Yeah, sometimes when we get discouraged, we've got to remember, whose battle is it? It's the Lord's battle.
Yes. Yes.
It's not by our might, not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we learn the word and we, you know, have that word that just cuts in there. And sometimes it's like you might be seeing a Bible verse and you don't even know how deep it's going into their heart,
yes.
You know, and how it is like affecting them. And then we pray before class, pray at class, pray after class, pray for those kids, you know. And then the Holy Spirit, it's bottom line, it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to repentance, not us, you know.
That's right.
In the class right before this, Dan was saying how, you know, it's really, our goal for our class might be we want all these kids saved, but we're not the ones that bring them salvation. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you can't say, well, my goal in my class is to get them saved, because that's something that we can't necessarily accomplish. We can present, my goal is to present the gospel and give them the opportunity to get saved, but it's up to them. And I was reading through the Old Testament, and I did write down the verse because I wasn't thinking about needing to reference it, but it was saying about how the prophet's job was to proclaim the truth.
Right.
Whether the people accepted it or not was not his responsibility. It was like he was well done, good and faithful servant for presenting it. And because it was presented, then he was basically off the hook.
Mm.
Now, I'm not just presenting the gospel because I want to be off the hook. I want them to get saved.
Yeah.
But that's where it's like, okay, I need to you know, present it. But I also need to not... I need to let that seed under that ground go ahead and start getting roots, and I might not see it. They might get out of my class before I see it sprout.
Yes.
It might be later. Like he was saying, I think Tommy was saying how he, you know, had heard the word, but then it wasn't until later that he really accepted it. You know, it was like a lot of times that happens to people, that seed is planted, and sometimes they kind of go wayward for a while, but then God brings them back to it, you know, and that seed eventually does mature. Okay, so in 1 Samuel 17:47. Since we have time, how about somebody read that one? 1 Samuel 17:47. First Samuel.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Is that the one?
Yep, the battle is the Lord's. Yes. So it's like, you know, we need to be faithful to what he's called us to do. But we got to remember, okay, you know, the battle is the Lord's. And when last year, when I was like going, Lord, I don't see this, anything happening here, you know, I went, okay, God, you tell me to go, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and hang in there. I'm going to keep at it. Because the battle is yours, and you're telling me just to go ahead and be a good soldier and go out there, you know. But basically, if they get saved or not, it's up to you, you know. And I'm gonna hang in there and do my part, but I'm not seeing much getting accomplished, you know. I kind of like to see a little more fruit here, you know. But it was like, okay, I'm gonna hang in there and be obedient, you know. And this is the thing. It's like we need to be obedient, you know, to what the Lord has called us to do. And this is where I have Proverbs 3:5-6. We need to trust him. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And God was directing my path to keep going, even though I didn't see anything that was happening from it, right? Okay, so that obedience, when we do that obedience, it brings joy. Okay, these are some favorite verses that we should, as release time teachers, hold true all the time. Galatians 6:9. Who wants to read that one? Galatians 6:9. Sally made this one for me on a plaque one day.
Right here, I got it. Oh, you got it? Uh-huh. Go ahead, somebody else can read it down. I have it right here on the Bible.
Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Do you notice that if? Mm-hmm. If you do not give up. If I'd given up in the middle of the year when I thought, well, it doesn't seem like anything's happening anyway. I mean, I remember it was like one day it rained on a Monday and I thought, yay, I don't have to go to class. And I was like, oh, you know, now this year, how did you know? When it rained on a Monday, I went, oh no.
Yes.
So I'm going to get to the good part, don't worry. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love this one too.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word and the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. It might look in vain at times, mm-hmm. but it is not
it
in vain.
Not. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is not. Okay, so last year it looked like a bunch of rubble, including my key troublemakers. But this year, now I can tell you the good part. It's been amazing because the kids from that last year's class, I had fourth and fifth grade, right? So the fourth graders, I thought, well, anybody sign up for this class? It was, you know, disaster last year. They all came back. All of the fourth graders came back. So I had five kids in the class. And I thought, you know, okay, did they learn anything? And also these kids last year, when I asked them, so why do we celebrate Christmas? They said, because we get presents. And I thought, well, whose birthday is it that we're celebrating? I don't know. Well, do you know, and it was like they didn't have a clue that it had something to do with Jesus, you know. So they were not knowledgeable in the Bible at all, you know. When I said, who is, you know, so we're going to learn about Moses today. Does anybody know who Moses is? Not a clue, you know. They hadn't even, you know, seen the little Bible movies or whatever, you know. It's like they knew nothing about it. Some of them were from a Catholic church, and so they knew about Mary, but she was the mother of God, you know, but they hadn't realized that Jesus was the son that was born at Christmas time. At Easter time, I said, so why do we celebrate Easter? They said, Easter bunnies, we get candy, you know. I said, okay, why do Christians celebrate Easter? They said, it's Jesus' birthday? I said, good guess. No. Remember, he was born Christmas time? Remember, and then he had, you know, he didn't stay a baby, right? He grew. What did he do for us? You know, what did he do for us? There was this thing called the cross, you know, and they didn't know, you know. So I taught him. I, you know, tried to get that word in. Like I said, I felt like it was a struggle to really get that word out to them. I felt like they weren't really hearing it most of the time. Okay, this year I go back. And I said, okay, we're going to learn about the Word of God. You know, why is this book more important? It says, oh, 2 Timothy 3:16. Mm. All scripture isn't, and they said the verse. Amen. And I'm going, you learned that verse, you know? And she says, yeah, that's, it's what, and I go, I mean, she's teaching the lesson, you know? She knew the verse. And I'm going, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe the girl was paying attention, you know? And then I'm going, yeah, they learned these verses. And I knew some of them had worked and learned the verses, you know, but I thought, oh, wow, she remembered that. Oh, well, maybe at the beginning of the year, it wasn't quite as chaotic as I remember it, you know? And then the next time, it was like, okay, so we're going to learn about, you know, Joseph. You know, we're going to go over the story of Joseph. Oh, I remember Joseph. Mm-hmm. This is one of the boys that seemed like he couldn't be quiet last year. He was talking all about it. And he goes, oh, and he told me the whole story of Joseph. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he got a little mixed up about was he said, and the chief, the chef, not the baker, you know, the chef. I said, that's close enough, you know. You call him a chef, okay. You know, and so every so often I would, you know, give him a couple little details here and there, a little prompt, but he knew it, and he knew the key point of what that lesson was supposed to be about. Now, like I said, this was the class of rubble, okay? And here they are, and they're telling me Bible verses, and they're telling me the story of Joseph. And then I thought, well, wow, maybe it wasn't quite so bad at the beginning of the year. I mean, I just remember later in the year. So far, every single time I've gone, I have been blown away with seeing how that seed had popped out of the ground, and that there was fruit on that seed, that they were learning and they were growing. And I mean, I'm coming out of there just, wow, they really learned something last year. You know? And it's almost like we're reviewing this year the lessons, because they learned it. The Ten Commandments, with a couple of little cues of, like, remember what this is, and we do the little, you know, God is first, you know, don't bow down to idols, God's name, don't say it with respect, you know, go to church, keep the Sabbath day holy, honor the mother and fathers, commandment 5, don't murder, you know, don't commit adultery, which is, you know, you mommy, daddy for it come first, then the kids. And some people say, you know, these two join together and they don't look at anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's also a good way to do it. And then it was like commandment number 7, is commandment number 8. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't steal. Mm-hmm. See, this guy over here lost it and this guy stole one, right? And then number 9, you know, don't lie. I see my 10 fingers? Mm-hmm. Am I lying, you know? And then number 10, don't be greedy or covetous, you know? And they understand the word greedy a little bit more than covetous, you know. And so I said, okay, who knows the Ten Commandments? Well, number 1, they all were able to do the Ten Commandments again, you know, and see. And these guys, so far we've gone through about 10 lessons. Sometimes I have to combine a couple lessons because of Monday holidays and rain and things like that. And last week, I think it was, we did 3 lessons in 1 day because there's 3 lessons for us on Joshua, and I mean, I rewrote it like notes of the key things, you know, so I could do it within the time frame. But it was 3, these guys sat in on the 3 lessons basically and learned all about, you know, Joshua, and knew the key points afterwards. You know, it was really amazing because it's like this year these guys are just like, yeah, we want to learn the Bible. Yeah, we want to hear it. So half of these kids were the same, they were the same class as last year. And the main thing was, is that they were learning stuff that I didn't know. They were teaching things that I didn't realize. So now, when I have, if I have something discouraging going on, I'm going, you know what, I might not see it all. I might not be seeing what's going on. There might be a lot more happening in those kids' life than I realize, you know. One of the kids that was in it last year that was a key troublemaker, at the end of the year, I said, you're either going to make a decision to say yes to God, or you're going to make a decision to say no to God. There really isn't any other choice. You're either saying yes to him, or you're saying no. And this one kid, I said, so what's it going to be? You know? And like I said, I was a little bit of a drill sergeant for, you know, a couple times with these boys, you know? I was a little bit, what's it going to be? You know? He says, I'm going to say yes to God. I said, okay, God heard that. God heard you say yes to him, you know? And he's one of the boys that's now in junior high, and he's at Lindbergh, and I teach at Jane Addams, and it's several, but there's quite a bit of little distance in between, you know, several blocks, and he showed up at my bus one day, and I'm going, oh, well, you, what are you, you're here, he says, I ran, He got out a little early, they got out early that day, and he ran to the class. He's the one that I said, are you going to say yes or no to God? You know, and he came in, and he was listening to the study. And he heard the last section of Joshua, and the story about how the part where it's like no idols, you know, how they went in, they conquered the land, the walls of Jericho had fallen down, but then there was idols in the land, and they were supposed to wipe out the idols and stuff like that, right? They weren't supposed to become part of what the problem was.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, we present the gospel, we tell them, you know, hey, live for the Lord now, but those things are still out there, right? And they can still kind of track them over, you know, those things that you know, they're not supposed to get into. And so I was telling that part of the story about how we need to make sure that we stay, you know, with the Lord and not get, you know, caught up with these other things. And my grandfather had a problem with alcohol. And so I said, you know, alcohol, you know, you get into that and it can just take hold of you and it's like you're prisoner to it. And I said, at the end of his life, he was in a hospital and he got free from that alcohol. And he was no longer like shaking if he didn't have his drink, you know, and he was free of it. And he was able to realize the grace of God that even he, who he thought was the chief of sinners, could be forgiven, you know. And he came to, and he is in heaven now. And I looked over and this little guy that had run to the class, you know, he had tears in his eyes. And I realized that, you know, there was something in that's really spoke to him. And I don't know if one of his relatives, you know, somebody in his life has a problem with alcohol, but he heard that God can overcome that and he can be a victor, you know, and he doesn't need to be trapped into that. And so many times kids, if they have somebody that is an alcoholic, they fall into that, they follow into that, you know. And I think God really wanted him to hear that he didn't need to follow in those steps. But it's heartbreaking when we see these kids, you know, their dad's in jail, or, you know, they don't have a man in their life, you know. They, you know, it's like, I have two brothers, they don't look anything alike, you know, because they're half-brothers, you know. And they have a third sibling on the way that is another, you know, half-sibling, you know. So it's like, I know that they're coming from some tough things, and sometimes, you know, we need to give them hope. That, you know what, God is victorious. He can overcome those things.
Yes.
And he can give you a life, and he can give you, you know, a joy, and he can give you love, you know. So it's like sometimes we need to really, like, just have God's heart for them and pray for them. But I have been so blessed to see, and I think God just really let me see the fruit of it, because it was so hard last year. Mm. But the thing is, it's crazy, these are the same kids. You know, and it's like, and they were learning so much that I wasn't aware of. It was crazy, you know. So anyway, don't just, like, we need to hang in there and not grow weary, and not give up, you know. And there was a solid wall of a Bible foundation being laid in them that I didn't even see.
Yeah.
This year, basically, I got through the wall. I didn't see rubble, I saw the wall. I saw all that work that I was doing, that I wasn't even aware of how much was getting done, and it was done. And the wall was solid, and they were there telling it back to me and telling me what they'd learned. And so far every lesson I've just been like, I'm waiting for them to, you know, say, I don't have a clue, you know. And there was one boy that one of the lessons he's going, no, I never heard that. And I thought, oh, okay, he must have been absent that day. But it's like a lot of them are really like, they remember, you know. So if you're feeling like, you know, it's hopeless, hang in there. Don't give up. And I hope I've given you some really, at least key scriptures today to look at, and just to, you know, kind of reinforce that it's, you know, God is there with you, and we don't have to give up, and we don't want to get weary, but we want to hang in there, and we will see the fruit. We will see. And maybe we won't see it, like I got to see it the very next year. Maybe we won't see it until we're in heaven.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll run into some of those kids, you know, and then we'll find out that they're there in heaven because of what we taught them this time. Because we teach them, you know, you need Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in closing, this is from 2 Thessalonians, and basically it's like my prayer for you guys, you know. It's, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement, and good hope encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Mm-hmm. That is my prayer for you guys, and I'm going to be praying for you guys that this prayer.
Second Thessalonians.
Second Thessalonians 5, 15 through 17. And pray it for each other, okay?
Amen.
And then let's just close in prayer now. Close your eyes. Lord, we know that you're stronger than the devil. Mm-hmm. And you give us victory over the enemy, Lord God.
Yes.
Sometimes we get discouraged, and forgive us when we, you know, forget, Lord, to remember that the battle belongs to you, Lord God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your wisdom, your strength, your joy, your love. Help us to share your love with these kids. Give us your heart for them, Lord. And let them be open to receive the word. Help them to have hearts that are good soil, Lord, that these seeds can be planted in. And we pray, Lord, that the enemy would not be able to steal it away from them, Lord God. We pray that the cares of the world will not choke them out, Lord God. We pray that it would go into good ground, Lord, and it would bring forth fruit, Lord Jesus. Help us to stand firm and not give up. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Would you mind just running through
the verses?
Yes, the references.
Not at all. Okay. I hope you guys will write these verses down, because it's like, I think, you know, sometimes when we get discouraged, it's good to just go back to one of those golden nuggets, right? You know? Okay, so the first one was Nehemiah 1:4. And I really encourage you guys. I started reading through the book of Nehemiah, thinking about release time, and it was, all through it, I saw just really good parallels to what we go through, with what he went through, so the whole book of Nehemiah, really. Psalms 55:22, mm-hmm. That's the one about casting your cares on the Lord, and he'll sustain you. If I'm going too fast, let me know. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. Philippians 4:6.
Yeah, I think that
one. Philippians 4:6. Mm-hmm. Then Lamentations 3:21-23. What we're supposed to keep in mind. Lamentations. And then Psalms 61:1-3. Hear my cry, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And then 1 Peter 5:8-9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. And then Hebrews 4:12 is our sword, the word of God. Hebrews 6:18 is praying in the Spirit. Zephaniah 4:6, and that is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6.
Okay.
And then 1 Samuel 17:47, thou belongs to the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I want you to remember that even if you're not seeing it, it's happening. Mm-hmm. By the way, the wall was built in 52 days. Mm-hmm. 52
yeah.
days that wall got built. It was after years and years of it not being built. Galatians 6:9. Mm-hmm. My little note down here is obedience brings joy. Because when we hang in there and we don't give up, you know, that is the joy of the Lord, is our strength. And when we're pleasing God, He gives us that joy. And He strengthens us. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Steadfast and immovable, it's not in vain. And 1 last scripture.
2 Thessalonians.
Oh, I don't know if I even shared this one with you. last scripture, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath you is the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. You know, when you're feeling like you're hitting bottom, remember God's arms are under you. I love that verse. You know,
Second Thessalonians 2:5. 15-17.
Which one?
Second Thessalonians.
Second Thessalonians.
Oh, yeah, 5:15.
Yeah, that was it.
I didn't hear you say Ephesians.
I just want to know about 18. Stuff there.
Ephesians.
And he said Zechariah 4:6.
Yeah, that was, he read that one out loud. That was the prayer, you know, this for spiritual battle, word of God prayer.
But I did give you guys was Deuteronomy 33:27. Yeah, we just got that.
Thank you.
Can you tell me about this?
Yes. Okay, so this is a chemical. Let me get the little chemical.
Something like that.
You know what? It's so much fun. The kids love this. Yes. And it is, you know, they let you look at the bottle so you can write it down.
You write it down, kind of car, so you can text it to me.
I don't know how easy it is to get a hold of it. My husband bought it.
No, I have too much of a I don't have a mom.
It used to be really easy. It used to be an Xlax, but they don't sell Xlax anymore.
So what do you? What is the color? Right?
I just take a Q-tip and I dip it in there and I write it on. And it totally disappears.
But it's not because I have.
And as you can see, it's liquid. And you just take a Q-tip in there and you write it out. You know, don't put pencil under it. You write it out. And then this is what I do right here. I have it in here from my last release class on David.
Is that a special paper?
No, it's just printer paper. Nothing special about it.
Just paper.
So how did you get the red?
You can't tell.
How did you get the red on there?
So it just turned red.
Oh, absolutely. And this is, by the way, this is from last week.
So if I use blue index, will it be blue?
No, it's always red. You can have. In fact, it's really better if it's not purple.
So this tells you how to mix. Are you mixing something?
No,
or that's it.
I just bought. It has to be window cleaner that has ammonia in it.
Ammonia.
It has to be. Now the reason why I don't do straight ammonia is because of the smell.
Yeah, so strong.
Okay. Now you could just take ammonia and mix it with water, but it's nice to have it in a spray bottle. It's just more convenient to buy. But I usually get the blue.
So you don't have a measuring.
No, you just buy it.
You buy that.
But it has to be the kind with ammonia.
So you're not going to have the ammonia separate and pour it in the bottle.
Okay. The hard part is getting your feet failing.
Okay. Now, do you know why you're asking about that?
You need to find out where we can get this.
Where did you get it? At CVS?
My husband got it at a science store.
And this is what I'm
saying.
You might be able to find it.
I got to tell you, I've had it for a long time. It lasts you for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay, because you just use it a little bit.
Did the writing, did you do that with a marker or with a
Q-tip? Q-tip.
No, with a Q-tip.
Q-tip.
You take the writing with the Q-tip?
I take a Q-tip. I dip it in here.
Oh, okay. You dip it in there.
That's how he does
Q-tip,
it.
Q-tip, dip it in here.
The writing.
And then I write on plain old paper.
Okay.
With a Q-tip. It's
just
and then
you spray it with.
And then I spray it with window cleaner that has ammonia.
Window cleaner.
It has to have ammonia.
I'm going to write it down.
That's the problem.
I don't know.
I'm going to look online. You might
look online. It used to be you could buy it in Xlax. Because Xlax had it in there. And we would just put the Xlax in water.
Are you doing class today?
Yes.
But they don't sell it anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
Fun lunch.
You shouldn't be eating.
You did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in here after lunch, so I have to freeze it up.
I can get my...